from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Easter, obviously, they're pulling their hair. And this guy was at Portland and now Worcester. Now you said to Indianapolis. So all you have to know is my son is on one of those, you know, internet group chats. Mm-hmm. And but it's his college, you know, like you sure. guys.
And what are they? Are they happy in buddy. The internet group chat?
Yeah, how is the group chat looking, Reek? They love this move?
He said it's good. It's a baseball chat and Star Wars and stuff. Different
now, why don't you get in the mix on the Star Wars stuff?
I know this is my son's.
Yeah,
but from Boston's on there, and he's happy to get Quinn Priester. He said our developmental team will definitely turn that guy around.
Well, good luck with that. I mean, the guy's got a career ERA over 6. But
you think they're talking about all the dates they're going on in that chat?
Star Wars and baseball. I feel like you'd be in heaven there. Those are two things you like. You know a disturbing amount about Star Wars, actually. You read Star Wars books on the side. You always...
I only read by one author, and he's written like 6 of them.
Okay. That's 6 more Star Wars books than I've read, brother.
Yeah, you read plenty of nerdy stuff, though. How many books have you read in the last week?
I read a book about Mickey Mantle this weekend.
500 pages or so?
No, it wasn't that long.
So that's like an hour-long read for you. I imagine you just turning the pages almost nonstop, which is very hard for me to fathom.
Nightingale blowing us off, so it seems. This point stands right now because of York getting option to AAA. They still have done nothing to help their major league team.
Correct.
They made a depth move. They made a low-risk move.
I mean, there has to be something else coming, right? Has to be. You would hope.
Well, this is just a theory. Yes, and this is just a theory of mine. I think that Cherington is comfortable throwing Priester in a deal because they have a lot of pitchers, and also it's not his guy. Whereas there was all kinds of discussion over the weekend about Henry Davis and Jazz Chisholm, and it was pretty much confirmed that Davis was not in that offer that the Pirates made mm-hmm. to Miami. And so that begs the question, was he not in the deal because the Pirates weren't willing to give up Henry Davis? We know the Marlins wanted a catcher because that's what they got from the Yankees.
Or the Marlins just didn't want him.
The Marlins didn't want him.
Not a catcher.
Exactly. So which one is it? And which one would be worse?
Do you want to know what's sad?
What would tick you off? What would make you feel worse? That the Marlins are like, no, we don't want that guy.
I have an answer.
Overall,
hold on.
Or that the Pirates need to still hoard him.
I have an answer that's
going to
make your head spin. I think it's both.
Yes.
I think the Marlins didn't want him because they think he stinks and can't catch. And I think the Pirates didn't want to trade him because they think he's going to be great. The worst of both worlds. That is what I think is true. Do you disagree with me? I don't think you do. I think both of those are very plausible things, that Ben Cherington is married to that pick. And the Marlins were like, hell no.
And the Marlins aren't the most astute organization. It's not like they've won anything for the last 20 years.
Made it to the playoffs last year.
Yeah, fluke. I mean, their run differential was terrible. They had no business being there.
You're still there.
I know. But I didn't look at them as a good team last year. Why would you not? I mean, I'd rather roll the dice on Henry Davis, who was picked one overall, than a guy that's the 19th best prospect in the Yankees organization. Me personally.
Unless they think Henry Davis isn't even close to an actual 1-1 talent, which if you've watched Henry Davis for all but like, what, a 2-week stretch where he looked okay last year, you'd pretty much come to that
conclusion.
Sure,
but isn't there like something in the middle there?
You would hope that something in the middle ends up being 265, 20 home runs.
But I'm saying they don't look at him as a true number one overall pick, but they also look at him as someone that's better than the 19th best prospect in the Yankees organization.
If he can't play catcher, automatically the offense has to get way better for him to be like a viable big-time player, and I don't know how good the offense can be with Henry Davis.
Here is our number two fan, Jeff in South Park. Hello, Jeff.
Guys, so just off of everything that's going on and what Cherington said yesterday, it seems to me that they're going to stand pat this season, and I guess it would be because they are putting all their eggs in the next season basket. I don't know if they're look at the deeper analytical numbers and have come to the conclusion that this actually isn't a very good baseball team. But this is where analytics can be a problem, okay? If you follow them to a T and decide next year is the year, what does that mean exactly? That they're going to spend more this coming off season? It seems to me that Cherington isn't really all that great at allocating money to the best of resources. Doesn't it make more sense to make an evaluation in season, see what they need and add accordingly?
I think part of the reason that they may be looking to 2025 and 26 is nothing to do with like advanced analytics and everything to do with how many innings they'd be comfortable throwing their starters. Because analytically, their big time starters are excellent. They strike a lot of people out, but I think that there's an innings situation there that makes them a little leery.
All right, let's go to the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. He is one of the great baseball insiders, really, in the history of the profession, USA Today for so long, so good, and that is Bob Nightingale back with us here on 93.7 The Fan. All right, Bob, the Pirates have made a minor trade in the last hour. You think they got anything else cooking right now?
Which team? I'm sorry.
You think the Pirates have anything else cooking right now after they made this minor trade?
I don't know. But maybe small things. They're kind of caught in no man's land. They're really not in the race, out of the race. So if it is, I would think it would be small. I mean, I don't think they're going to go all in this year. You know, if the price of relief pitching is skyrocketing. And I don't see them, I don't see them trading Chapman, although I don't rule it out. Just because if you can get a ton for them, maybe you move them and just shoot for 2025.
Sounds like they'd be more likely than Bob to be sellers than buyers the rest of the way, if anything.
Yeah, I can't see them being buyers, not big time buyers by any means. Just in the sense where if you've already gone through the whole pain of rebuilding everything else, so you're not going to give away top prospects just for a shot at going for it in the I think realistically, they say, next year's our year.
Sure.
Skeens, everybody else.
Bob,
now we don't have to worry about pitch counts and innings counts and do that.
Bob, they're one of the worst offensive teams in baseball, and these guys that would help them in the outfield, like Jesse Winker, for example, make no money. The guy went for the 17th prospect in the Mets organization. So I understand if they don't want to go for Luis Robert and give up big prospects, but you're telling me the Tommy Pham's and Winkers and Lane Thomas's and those types were out of the Pirates' price range?
No, they could have done that, but I think, I think realistically, too, you got to wonder is, at some point, do they kind of, not shut down, but limit, what their starters can throw? They don't want to just say, hey, we got into the playoffs and we were bounced out first round. We get a free hat and t-shirt out of it.
you know, you want to make a deep run. I mean, look at Tampa Bay. He's going 3.5 out, 3 out, and then dumped their whole – they've dumped their whole team. I just think they want to be realistic about it.
Bob, is that – just for the record, is that your personal opinion, or are you hearing around baseball that they're not really a buyer right now?
Just hearing that they're not a buyer, not a big-time buyer. But, you know, a Winker, you know, mixed reviews. I mean, he – well, was he DFA'd last year? You know, wasn't like you're getting some guy that's, you know, proven there. And
well, his OPS is almost 800. That would be the second best on this team behind Reynolds. You're in Arizona. You saw the lineup they put out there yesterday, Bob. Their guy's hitting under 200 left and right.
Yeah, but he had the same 800 OPS, you know, once with the new team. So that's the thing. So I'm not saying they couldn't have got someone like that. But certainly they must not have a real high opinion of him either.
Would a guy like Taylor Ward be available to them, you think, at a realistic price?
Not realistic price. It'd be a high price because you're still under contract for next year.
Yep.
I think maybe 2 years, but no, not realistic at all.
What's Ben Cherington's reputation around baseball, Bob? Like, I mean, he's only had 1 year in Boston where he was trying to add to a winner, and obviously they won the World Series. But what's his reputation from people you talk to about how he handles deadlines in general?
Well, a very solid reputation. And I think the eyebrows were raised is when, you know, Bob Nutting came out and said, okay, we're going to spend money and do that. It's like, wait a minute now. He didn't say that. It wasn't like he has an open checkbook there in Pittsburgh. They got to be cautious. So I think you know, people will judge him a lot better in Pittsburgh a year from now. What do they do in the off season? What do they do at next year's trade deadline? Because, you know, they're knocking on the door, but they don't want to do something stupid right now and delay that opening.
How about Brent Rooker? Is he off the table for teams? Bob, is he still available?
I don't think he's available. I really don't.
Okay.
He's a DH too. You know, I mean, you know, he doesn't play the outfield. So teams like the Phillies, you know, love him as a bat, but they already have a DH. So I think every team would have the same trepidation.
How about Josh Bell? Could you see him coming back here?
I could see that. You know, because all you're doing is paying them, you know, the minimum salary, and you know, because Marlins, you know, Marlins going to have to eat the whole thing, and then they probably just give him a fringe prospect. So something like that's certainly, you know, available.
Bob, in general?
You know, you're not going to pay him any money.
In general, Bob, when you see teams that are smaller markets like the Pirates around this time of year, around the deadline, in your experience, how much does what the team does in terms of wins and losses right up to the deadline, like either sweeps a team or gets swept, actually inform how they handle the deadline? Like if the Pirates had swept the Diamondbacks instead of taking one of three, do you think they might have acted differently than they have so far?
Possibly a little bit. I mean, you shouldn't have your mind pretty much made up. But, you know, when there's a team like San Francisco, I know it's just the Rockies, but just beat them 4 in a row. Now you're only 3.5 out in a big market. So sometimes teams do go to the end. I remember the Tigers that year when they traded David Price to Toronto. They waited to that very last
Yeah, that's
day.
Right.
So there's a few teams still like that. You know, the Cubs themselves are kind of in no man's land. You know, I think they want to sell. And right now, you know, they swapped third baseman, but they really haven't done one way or the other.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today, one of the best. Make sure you're following him. Be Nightingale on Twitter, on X, for all the trade deadline coverage. Bob, thanks for squeezing us in today. We appreciate it.
Sure, my pleasure. Take care, guys.
Yep. My God, was that depressing. Holy cow.
He said almost every, I mean, it's his opinion. It's what he's hearing. I'm not going to say it's gospel truth, but as you said, he's very plugged in. I had a very bad feeling when he started answering your first question that it was going to go right to pitch inning limits. And then he basically said all the restrictions will be off next year. Will they? What's Jared Jones's 2025 going to be like if he only ends up throwing like 105 innings this year, Pony? Think about that.
Next year? Yeah, because you're only going to go up like 30.
So is he going to be retroactive? Is he going to just kind of be spinning his wheels again? Or are they going to make an exception because they figure he might get to 110?
Now, if Skeens gets to 150, which he should, then next year he'll be at 180, which is almost a full season, so you feel good. Probably is a full season. You
I mean,
feel good
is.
About that.
Yeah, Keller threw, what, 195 last year?
Yep.
But I'm asking you, Jones is supposed to be a big part of this. He's missing a lot of time. Are they going to treat him like a guy who's still functionally in, like, his first year? Clock's ticking on him, man.
I think there's some. I think there are some people who think he won't come back and pitch this year. And if he does, it'll be in the bullpen and not even as a starter.
Which means he's not going to be available to you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, "What happens when you compare Bob's to the competition?" You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Long-term.
Bob Nightingale interview did not paint a very pretty picture for the Pirates. So let's go to Latrobe here. Metaphorically, I don't actually think Brian Batko's there because they're not practicing today, but they will tomorrow in pads. And our training camp coverage is presented by Smale Kia, brought to you by Guardian Caps and Armstrong Business Solutions. Brian, how would you grade Justin Fields' time with the first team offense?
I'd probably go C plus, maybe a B minus, Pony, mainly because it hasn't been super consistent. You certainly want to see your quarterback looking sharp in these unpadded practices when it's really the most quarterback-friendly environment you can get at the NFL level. But I do think he's looked better than the Justin Fields I saw in OTAs and minicamp. I kind of think building back his confidence is maybe going to be one of the biggest hurdles or challenges for him here in Pittsburgh.
Brian, was it when you evaluate a guy, you say C plus, B minus? What was more noticeable with him, the wow good moments or the inconsistent moments? Like, what did stick out to you more? Like, wow, I can't believe he missed that throw, or wow, I can't believe he actually dropped a 50-yard dime?
Well, Chris, that seems like more of a psychoanalysis question of me. As you know, I'm more of a glass-half-full guy in life.
So I actually didn't know that about you. I had you – the glass was perfectly neutral when I envisioned you.
Yeah, that maybe once upon a time that was me, you know, two kids. Now I feel like I'm a little bit more optimistic on my worldview. So I'd say the wow moments have been better to me for Fields. And, you know, with him, again, I mean, I think he's just he's a real case of, and I haven't seen a ton of them so far live and in person, but I just get this vibe with him of he's the kind of quarterback that he has everything, but does he have it? You know what I mean? He has all the tools. Does he have that it factor that you need to really hit your stride in the NFL? Obviously, the Bears didn't see enough of that, but he's getting an extended look from the Steelers here in the early going with Big Russ on the shelf.
Watching practices, does it feel like they've won the Deontay Johnson trade with the way the Carolina corner has looked, Brian?
Not just watching practices, Pony, but also the more you're just kind of around the team since that deal and just talking to people, rumblings. I mean, they were very much ready to move on from Deontay. It was not good with him behind the scenes in the team. Nobody's going to really say that too strongly publicly because what's the point when a guy's gone and on another roster? But, I mean, between the off-the-field stuff with Deontay and, yeah, the early glimpses of Dante Jackson, who – I mean, he's been hanging with George Pickens in a good way for a vet who a lot of the reports out of Carolina or opinions out of Carolina where he may have lost a step and just doesn't have it anymore, that's looking like a good trade to me for the Steelers. I thought I was more on the side that it was at the time. It wasn't really on paper when you look at the stats, the PFF grades and whatnot, but I think seeing Dante Jackson actually do it physically on top of the intangibles that went into that trade, I like it even more now than I did in March.
What's your read on
February, whenever that was?
What's your read on George Pickens himself? The a little dust up with Asani, the receivers coach, the new receivers coach, not being too thrilled with being missed on a crosser by Justin Fields. How do you read all of that, Brian?
I mean, I didn't see the Pickens, Asani, whatever, but I have no reason to doubt what my beat partner Ray Fittipaldo saw, and it just doesn't surprise me when it comes to George. I mean, he's had the immature label on him since coming out of college, but I think it is important with him to be fair and open-minded still and compartmentalize. That's one thing. You can't, like, what are you mad about? Being coached? I mean, that's ridiculous for a third-year guy at this level, if that's the case. On the other hand, though, I don't really have an issue with jumping up and down a little bit if you feel like a quarterback missed you. I mean, that's kind of human nature. That's instinct. I mean, you're not showing a guy up at a training camp practice doing that. Now, if he starts stomping his feet and, like, you know, actually having visible outbursts on the sideline or something about it, that'd be a different story. But that, to me, so far is no big deal. And I actually think his overall comportment, is that the right word, has been
yes, better, that's a very good word.
Better. Thank you, Pony. Better through the first three or four days this year than it was the first week or so of camp last year. I thought he was being a real goofball early on. So that maybe the arrow is pointing slightly up for George.
Brian, we got to let you run because before we had you on, Bob Nightingale took a big steaming dump on the Pirates trade deadline plan. So we ran late with him. So we appreciate you coming on with us and we'll do it again next week. Okay.
Sounds good, guys.
There you go.
Look forward to talking with you.
Brian Batko. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. I was listening to Brian closely and processing a lot of that, but I'm still not over Nightingale. I'm just not, dude.
It was a huge downer. He
Donnie, am I exaggerating?
He gave voice to every fear sucked. I've had.
He was like the Grim Reaper of the Pirates' deadline plans.
Yeah, they might sell Chapman. They're probably likelier to be a seller than a buyer. Nope. No, he's not even available.
Oh, but he did say Josh Bell could have a reunion here. Ring that bell. Make sure you're sitting down, because I don't want your heart to go into palpitations over this. UPMC Health System wants you to know your heart care matters. Trust the experts at UPMC. Get your heart screened today. We have more from MLB Scoops. The Pirates, only after an intense prayer session and front office meeting, decided that they would go for it and make some deadline moves for a playoff push. Oh, wait, there's more. The big deadline move the Pirates have been looking for so far has been asking the Yankees about outfielder Alex Verdugo. And while it is still being discussed, the Pirates eagerly anticipate the superstar outfielder to help them take the division.
And then, further up, we at MLB Scoops want to thank one of our biggest fans at the Pony Express. Check out his segment on 93.7. Hold on, more. A couple of minutes later, 1 minute ago. We would also like to debunk allegations by at the Pony Express, they were my allegations, that we are run by Yankees pitcher Marcus Stroman. Such errant ideas are defamatory and slanderous to our name and could be pursued with actual malicious intent, as we are a public figure with huge influence on the public.
Yeah. So really, it's going to come down to, who do you believe, MLB Scoops or Bob Nightingale? We got a showdown on what's going to happen to the Pirates here. This story that ran today, I have no real access to Ben Charrington. If I did, I would print it and go to the Pirates office, ask for his office, and then wait in the lobby until the secretary let me in or for him to go out to take a pee, and then I would hand it to him.
You don't think he has a bathroom attached to his office?
That's actually a good point. And say, Ben, can you just read this? Stop being so scared. And make a move. Baseball America Today, this study, Between 2001 and 2017, a total of 676 prospects were dealt at the trade deadline. Of those 676, 143 went on to have a consequential MLB career, which they defined as playing the majority of at least two seasons and posting a positive career WAR. So that's not even that high of a bar.
No, that's there are a shocking amount of players who probably
that comes
would meet
out to 21% of all moves, or just 1 in 5. I printed out just guys that were dealt in the 3 years the Pirates went for it, 13, 14, and 15. I mean, the first guy in 2014, the Pirates were in the mix. They didn't make a single trade at the deadline. They didn't want to give up prospects. And these are some of the prospect names. Harold Riggins.
Big Harold Riggins. Big Rig. The Big Rig.
Harold Riggins was
Is that the cousin of your boy from Friday Night Lights?
Yeah. Harold Riggins got dealt.
I can't believe somebody was willing to part with Harold Riggins.
I'm sure fans there were like, of whoever he was. Donnie, look him up. I want to know who this Harold Riggins character is. Some fans probably livid that Harold Riggins got.
Some fans probably thought they traded John Riggins. Oh, here's Harold Riggins.
Spencer Patton went at that trade deadline.
Boy, who could forget him?
Harold Riggins, by the way, he never got further than
high A ball. He was in double A ball for a hot second.
Okay, yeah, he played 58 games with double A Tulsa in 2014.
Peter O'Brien.
Big Pete.
Was traded at that deadline.
Peter O'Meter.
Honestly, there's like 30 names here. Here are the ones you would recognize. Addison Russell.
I remember that name. Man, he was a bad dude.
Alex Sogard.
Remember that name.
Corey Knebel.
Yeah.
Edwin Escobar.
I recognize all these names.
Mitch Haniger. Vaguely. Eduardo Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Kike Hernandez. Colin Moran.
Don't you know?
Willie Adames. And there's a bunch more that you would never, ever, ever heard
of. A lot of Harold Rigginses, though.
Yeah. So if it's 1 in 5 that the prospect hits, 20%, these are supposed to be numbers, guys. Why are they so unwilling to trade them?
Great question.
If the hit rate is so low, what are they so nervous and scared about?
They think they're the ones who are different. Our prospects are all going to be hits. Every single one of them is going to be awesome. That's the only thing I can guess. That's all I got. Oh, yeah. 1 in 5 prospects manage to make it to the big leagues and be productive players. It usually doesn't work for those guys, but maybe it will for us. I don't know, man. It's frustrating. I still can't. I'm honestly stuck on Nightingale, mainly focusing on innings limits for Skeens and stuff like that.
I agree.
And being so blasé about it, I got to be honest.
Well,
offend Bob here, but he was just like, yeah, well, they're going to go for it next year. I mean, they don't really strike me as a big contender this year.
He made it sound like it was just a known fact around baseball that the Pirates were not really going for this year.
It's not even that gets me. That's true. He made it seem... I got the sense from him he thought, like, well, you'd be crazy if you think they should go for it this year. Yeah. I got, like, a distinct sense he was talking... Not talking down to, but acting like, wait, you wanted them to go for it this year? This year? This team? That drove me nuts, man. Because it's the exact same kind of defeatist mindset I feel like I've been worried about them having all along.
Well, the other thing that just... And I should have said this stronger to him. I get annoyed when people in his position go to one extreme and say, you can't mortgage the future. You can't make this giant deal. You can't. And that's why I followed up with him and said, I'm not talking about Luis Robert right now in trading the Pirates' top three prospects. Mm-hmm. Why couldn't they do the Jazz Chisholm deal? Why couldn't they do the Jesse Winker deal? Why couldn't they do these deals that would have made them better? The Braves, when they won a World Series, go back, Donnie, pull it up with their deadline moves. They made like 3 or 4 moves that you would say, those are the types of trades that the Pirates should make now. Like nothing that got them, you know, grading who won the trade deadline. They didn't win it. They didn't get like big, juicy reaction to what they did. They just made moves that made them incrementally better, and it made the difference in the end. They got Jorge Soler.
Eddie Rosario, and Adam Duvall.
Yeah. Those are not like big name guys.
They also got Jock Peterson from the Cubs 2 weeks prior. If okay. You count that one.
Are those star players?
Soler was a beast for them.
Yeah, he was
a monster.
Look at his numbers.
No, I know. He was a guy who was like a human strike, like a windmill.
Yeah.
Many years. I mean, he led the AL in home runs. But
no, but I'm saying, look at what
yes.
he did in my. He got traded from Miami to Atlanta, right?
No, he got traded from
or Kansas
the
City
to Atlanta.
Yeah, Kansas City. I mean, he had. What was he doing in Kansas City that year before he got traded?
In 2021, he had a 658 OPS. He wasn't good.
Yeah.
But he was 2 years removed from having a 922 OPS and leading the league with 48
jacks. Look
up
Winker's numbers. I mean, not that he's like that, with like you just mentioned with Soler, where he led the league in home runs or anything like that, but he's had good years.
I know.
Tommy Pham's been an all-star.
The longer this goes without them making any other moves besides this Priester for Nick York move, which most people do seem to think they traded for the lead singer of Radiohead, Tom York. The longer it goes, the more I just think that everyone's biggest fear about how the front office and even maybe ownership was viewing this thing becomes realized, that it really is everything they've said. It's about more next year than anything. This team has innings limits on its best players and therefore isn't worth adding.
Here's what I want to know. How much of this is Charrington on his own and how much of this is his just taking the script that was given to him by ownership? If his hands are tied and he can't make moves without giving up guys who make money, well, then I will have empathy for him.
We'll never know. But, I don't think we'll ever get a straight answer on that, Pony.
Well, we would if he got fired at the end of the season or something like that. I mean, if they win 78 games, they don't make the playoffs, they finish with a losing record, they didn't do anything at the trade deadline, and he lost his job for it, we'd know. But right now, I've been given no indication. We don't know yet. Like, I've been given no indication that Nutting is frustrated or unhappy with the job that Charrington is doing.
The only thing we all had was the Sheets press conference.
That's right, the Sheets presser.
Where he talked about, essentially said, our offense sucks, we need to get better. Like, we can try to get better right now.
Yeah, that's right. He said, we don't even have to wait till the trade deadline. Let's get creative. It made it sound like
he
gave Ben permission.
Almost ordered him to, yes.
Right.
It was the one time, I think, this year that Bob Nutting has come off positively to a lot of fans because he seemed to be echoing their very same concerns and frustrations. And yet it's been nothing since. And honestly, the only thing that's happened out of that was we got dueling reports suggesting that, yeah, the owner actually is opening this up for him and Ben won't take the opportunity. And then there were punchback reports saying, no, actually, he doesn't have the leeway to do anything. It's not his fault. Like, there was some real dissension within the ranks there.
And you know what I think about, too, based on what
Bob?
Yeah, Nightingale said. I want to call him Florence. If they lose tonight, are they going to trade Chapman tomorrow?
Probably. Because that's why I asked him that. Like,
yeah.
If they had swept the Diamondbacks, would they be looking at this differently?
Because Bob made it sound like they think, or people around them think, they're a peripheral contender. And peripheral contenders, some of them, including the Rays, have sold.
The Cubs said they were selling and have done more buying than the Pirates.
Yeah, right.
It's very frustrating.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.